بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على أكرم الخلق سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأنذرهم يوم الحسرة إذ قضي الأمر وهم في غفلة وهم لا يؤمنون. وقال الله عز وجل: ذلك يوم مجموع له الناس وذلك يوم مشهود. وقال: واليوم الموعود. وسمى الله عز وجل في مكان آخر يوم الحساب ويوم القيامة ويوم يبعثون ويوم التناد ويوم التغابن وإلى الآخر. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أحب دنياه أضر بآخرته، ومن أحب آخرته أضر بدنياه، فآثروا ما يبقى على ما يفنى. وبعد. Respected علماء الكرام, حفاظ of the Quran الكريم, elders and respected friends in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Assalamu alaikum, Duru Sharif inshaAllah. First and foremost, we praise Allah Ta'ala for the most precious gift of Iman manifested in the perfect and beautiful teachings filled with great wisdom and compassion in the form of our Shari'at of Islam. Now, if one does sincere introspection, then there are many things that cause us grief, worry, concern, anxiety. My financial situation, my condition within the home, the situation at work, security, etc. However, on a closer and a more sincere introspection done in the light of the verses of the Quran Kareem and the beautiful and wise teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we realize that with the coming of death, the thing that should cause consternation, worry, concern and sorrow only really commences from the moment of death onwards. As believers in Allah Ta'ala and all that Allah wants us to believe in, we know, as Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ, that most certainly the life of the Akhirah, that is really the real life for a mu'min. So our real worry and concern and anxiety should be focused to that which is everlasting as opposed to that which is temporary. Make no mistake, one is commanded by Allah Ta'ala to ensure his and his dependents' well-being in this dunya, but to a limit that does not bring about neglect and destruction of the real life, the life of the Akhirah. So a true mu'min, as we find in the classical examples of those who had been blessed with the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the entire gaze and concern and worry was directed to the real life, the life from death onwards. We can say very simply that a human being goes through various phases of life. First and foremost, approximately 9 months in the womb of one's mother. Thereafter, one comes into this world, and the way a person conducts him or herself in this world until the time of death determines the fate of a person in the coming critical stages. The third stage, known as Alamul Barzakh, the intermediary stage from death onwards up to the moment of the Day of Judgment. The stage thereafter is Yawmul Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment. And thereafter, the eternal abodes of Jannah, Jahannam. So the real worry and concern of a true mu'min, of a believer, summarized in the coming critical important stages that the Quran time and again reminds us about. If one looks at the study of subject matter within the Quran, then the following are the most important headlines of discussion within the Quran Kareem: Tawheed, Risalah, Ma'ad, Ahkam, wa Ilmul Jadal. Pertaining to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the life after death, pertaining to Risalat of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, the various injunctions that a person adheres to in his life on this temporary abode, and the rejection of various forms and categories of false beliefs as far as aqidah is concerned. So a true mu'min is he who should be worried about the following. At the time of my death, a very, very critical juncture, will the malaika who come to extract my ruh come in the beautiful form and shape adorned with the garments of Jannah, bringing along them kafans and fragrances of Jannah, so much so that when the ruh of a true mu'min looks at this, the ruh yearns and desires to come out of the body as quickly as possible to go on to meet my Rabb, my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and enjoy the fruits of his joy and happiness upon me. Or, on the other hand, may Allah protect, at the time of death, will Malakul Maut and the angels under his command come to me in a most worrisome, in a fearful, in a state that strikes fear into me, that the ruh clings to the body and does not want to come out, and it is wrenched out with great difficulty from the body. Thereafter, let us remember that death is the initial stage of the Day of Judgment. مَمَّاتَ فَقَدْ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ. At the time a person meets his death is the initial and the first stage of Qiyamah. Thereafter, my worry and concern, when I am placed into the darkness of the qabr, will my qabr, my grave, be lightened with the nur of Quran, the nur of Iman? Will I be protected from all sides by the beautiful actions of salah, zakah, good akhlaq and character? When the questioning at the hands of Munkar and Nakir take place, how will I fare in that examination whose questions are already known to us? Man Rabbuk wa ma dinuk wa man Rasuluk? Or will I be the wretched one who cannot answer to any of these, whose grave becomes a pit of horrors? The stage thereafter, the coming of the great day that Allah Ta'ala gives various names in the Quran Kareem that I've mentioned in the initial khutbah, the Day of Judgment, Yawmul Qiyamah. Very quickly we go through some of the names and the way Allah Ta'ala describes this day, Yawmul Qiyamah, the day of standing up from the graves, Yawmul Hisab, the day of reckoning, Yawmul Jam'ah, the day Allah Ta'ala will gather the entire humanity in one plane, Yawmul Taghabun, the day of success and defeat, who has won the final today, who has lost the final, and that is the real final. Yawmul Tanad, the day when people will call out to one another, assisting and wanting help. Yawmul Majmu'un Lahun Nas, wa dhalika Yawmul Mashhud, when the entire humanity and creation will be present in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yawm al-Hasrah. Look at the very word and how it drives home the meaning. The day of true remorse and regret for those who failed there indeed are the greatest failures of all time. Yawm al-Tubla al-Sarair. The day when secrets will be manifested and laid open. And various other names, 24 different names for the Day of Judgment mentioned in the Quran Kareem. What will then transpire is that Sayyidina Israfil alayhi salam, the angel deputed to blow the trumpet, will blow it once to signal the end of this dunya and its inhabitants. A period of 40 years thereafter, he will blow in for a second time to signal the day of resurrection, Yawmul Hisab, Yawmul Qiyamah, Yawmul Akhirah. Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu says, on an occasion when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved and compassionate leader, was offered some kind of extra luxury over and above his normal simple self, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded most beautifully, كَيْفَ أَنْعَمُ وَصَاحِبُ السُّورِ قَدْ أَلْقَمَهُ وَأَصْغَى سَمْعَهُ. How can I indulge myself in luxury when Israfil alayhi salam has already put the trumpet into his mouth, has strained his ears awaiting the command of Allah Ta'ala to blow into the trumpet signaling the day of judgment. Absolute pandemonium on the plains of resurrection. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. Let us ponder deeply on the meaning of these verses. Allah Ta'ala says it is that day when a person will flee and run away from those who are most beloved to him, his parents, wife, children and brother. The day when the sun tudna shamsu ala al-khala'iki biqadri milin, the sun would come down to just 1 mile above the heads of creation, because of which our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, people according to their actions and their conduct in the short temporary life of an examination will be covered in perspiration, some up to the ankles, some up to the knees, some up to the waistline, and some, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, right up to their mouths. However, will I be rather in the other group, that then when there will be absolute pandemonium, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says by way of example in a hadith, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يَهُولُهُمُ الْفَزَعُ الْأَكْبَرُ وَلَا يَنَالُهُمُ الْحِسَابُ وَهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيبٍ مِّن مِسْكٍ حَتَّى يُفْرَغَ الْخَلَائِقُ مِنَ الْحِسَابِ. Three special people will be saved from the terrors and the horrors of the Day of Judgment. They will not even be asked to render a hisab, an account, and will enter into Jannah with the greatest ease. They will be honored by being on mounds and pulpits made of musk. Who are these three special people? Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a person who had learned, attached himself to the Quran, and led people in salah thereby for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, a person who had for the pleasure of Allah invited others towards salah, establishing salah in their lives. And third, that person who was clean in his dealings, in his matters between himself and his Allah, and between himself and his subordinates. Hukukullah, hukukul ibad, was sound and intact. Still more, in another hadith, talking about those who will be saved from the difficulties of that day, and these are words of reality, these are words of haqq, from the Mubarak tongue of the most truthful of all human beings. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about the fact that when there will be no other shade from the heat of the Day of Judgment, the group of seven, in this dunya there are the groups of seven and group of eight. In the hadith, the group of seven, the G7, who will be given sanctity in the shade of Allah Ta'ala's throne, a select group of people, Imamun Adil, one, a leader who was fair and just in his position of authority that would apply to an individual within his home, within the work environment as well. A youngster, a youth who was invited to fulfilling his desires in a haram manner but refrained for the fear of Allah. Two believers, and this is so simple and so easy, two Muslims who loved each other for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Our friendship, our love, let it be based on gaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, a person who had given sadaqah but done it with such secrecy and such sincerity that the right, left hand did not know what the right hand had spent. And finally, one who had in solitude, while all alone, remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with such passion, with such love, with such fear, that it brought tears into his eyes. The further stages on the Day of Judgment, there is the mizan, the weighing of actions, the scales of justice in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In previous times, one of the deviated sects in the name of Islam, Al-Mu'tazila as well as the Jahmiyyah, had rejected the fact that there is mizan, even though Allah Ta'ala emphatically says, wal waznu yawma idhin al-haq, saying that how can things which are not tangible be weighed and measured? Modern science has made it easy for us to comprehend. In so many instances, there is weighing and measuring of things which are not tangible, the weather, sweetness, the fragrance of a flower, etc. So the scales of justice, when in some instances people will actually be weighed, and according to the good in a person, will he be more weighty? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person who seems strong and very, very bulky will be put onto the scales, but he had not an iota of good and has no value in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. On the other hand, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a mu'min will be brought for the weighing of his actions in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. A small piece of paper will be put on the right pen denoting good deeds. 99 long registers of the sins and ills in which he was involved in will be placed on the left hand side denoting bad deeds. He will lose hope obviously and say, what will this little piece of paper do in comparison to 99 long registers? Allah Ta'ala will say that today is the day of justice, no good deed will be left out. And to his utter amazement, the small little piece of paper will outweigh the 99 long registers, and written in that piece of paper will be his proclamation with sincerity in Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Then there is the hisab standing in the court of Allah Ta'ala for one's accountability. And let us always make dua, Allahumma hasibni hisaban yasira. O Allah, make my reckoning easy for me. Better than that, O Allah, protect me from any kind of hisab and reckoning. A person whose hisab and reckoning will be scrutinized, I know firstly about myself, and every one of us can testify to that, as the Messenger of Allah says, one whose hisab will be done in great detail being scrutinized will definitely fail. But one whom Allah Ta'ala merely casts a gaze over his books and give him a pass will definitely succeed. So there is the weighing of actions, there is the hisab, accountability in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter the granting of one's book of deeds. The report card, the examination card will be distributed. Those who had succeeded, the books will be given in the right hand, and those who had failed dismally, the book will be placed in the left hand from behind his back. Look at the reaction of both these groups of people. Allah Ta'ala describes it in the Quran Kareem. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. One who has been granted the book of deeds in the right hand will go through a very easy hisab and a very easy reckoning. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. Will return to his beloved ones and his family members in Jannah absolutely happy. He will, in fact, at the time of being given the hisab, the books of deeds, will call out to all of those around him that come and look at my report card, look at my success. On the other hand, may Allah protect one who is given the book of deeds in the left hand or from behind. فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوتَ كِتَابِيَ. يَوْمُ الْحَسْرَةِ, the day of remorse and regret. He will say, I wish there was no such a thing as hisab and reckoning. I wish there was no book of deeds. I wish death would come and put an end to my misery. But the problem is that there is no death from that moment onwards. Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala an, and this we cite as an example of this worry and concern that every mu'min should have for these critical stages. In his moment of death, as he was shedding tears, somebody said to him, you are the beloved companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you fearful of death? And mentioned his great praises. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam termed him as the greatest alim of halal and haram, the greatest mufti in this ummah. Mu'adhun imamul ulama'i yawm al-qiyamah, will be the imam of ulama on the day of judgment. He says, how can I rest assured when as yet I do not know whether I'm amongst the wretched or the fortunate ones? Our beloved and respected mother Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, يُحْشَرُ النَّاسُ حُفَاتًا عُرَاتًا غُرْنًا, people will be raised on the day of resurrection initially unclothed in their original state as they had been at the time of birth. Look at the natural haya and modesty that she possessed. First question, الرجال والنساء ينظر بعضهم إلى بعض. Men and women in one plane, in this state, looking at one another. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this really epitomizes the severity, the seriousness of the Day of Judgment. الأمر أشد من أن ينظر بعضهم إلى بعض. O Aisha, the matter of Qiyamah is so severe that one will not even think of looking at the next person around oneself. For a mu'min, alhamdulillah, there is great hope. On the other hand, let us be wary, let us be concerned about these stages. Once again, the beautiful example of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha. Once in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed that his beloved wife, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, was weeping profusely. Ma yubkiki, what is causing you to shed tears? She says, I'm thinking of Jahannam. I'm thinking of Jahannam. Let us do some introspection. When has the mention of Jahannam, the Azab of Qabr, the Day of Judgment, brought tears to our eyes? And then she says, oh my beloved, will you be there to assist your family on the various stages of Qiyamah? Yes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's help would come to the fore at many instances. One of the great occasions, Ash-Shafa'ah, the intercession of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on numerous occasions, Al-Hawd, the great pond of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the plains of Qiyamah. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there are three occasions where no person will have any worry and concern other than for himself. And Al-Mizan, at the time of one's actions being weighed in the scales, wary and conscious as to which side of the scales would outweigh the other. وعند الكتاب, when the book of deeds are presented, waiting to see if it comes to the right or the left hand. وعند الصراط, and at the time of crossing over the Sirat, the full Sirat, the bridge that extends over Jahannam. Just on this point, last night we had mentioned the hadith that reciting Durood Sharif abundantly will be a cause of light and nur on the Sirat, the bridge over Jahannam that makes an easy crossing possible. But great hope for a mu'min, we learn in the hadith, on the Day of Judgment when people will present themselves for hisab, for reckoning in the court of Allah Ta'ala, whereas disbelievers, wrongful ones, will be shamed in full view of the entire creation. A sincere believer who had great qualities will be brought to the court of Allah. Allah Ta'ala will put a veil over him so that this hisab is a personal matter between him and Allah. His actions will be presented to him. He will be convinced that he is ruined and destroyed. And he will acknowledge his sins. He will have no option, no recourse but to acknowledge. Allah Ta'ala will say to him, after he has acknowledged, these are your sins which I have concealed for you in dunya. وَأَنَا غَفَرْتُهَا لَكَ الْيَوْمِ. And today, as I have concealed them in this dunya, today I have entirely forgiven you for every one of these sins. Go to your eternal abode of success, the abode of Jannah. May Allah Ta'ala make us amongst them, inshallah. In conclusion, an incident of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, Umar al-Thani, one of the great leaders of Islam, prior to his becoming obedient to Allah Ta'ala, his life, he was distanced from deen. Somebody asked him in later years, what was the turning point in your life? He says, once as I was brutally lashing my slave, he turned around and said to me, O Umar, fear that night. O Umar, fear that night whose morning will bring upon you the Day of Judgment. May Allah Ta'ala grant me and all of us the hidayah to practice upon what has been said, inshallah. A few important announcements is that, inshallah, the collection that will take place today will be dedicated to a masjid collection for the masjid just south of Johannesburg, the Ormonde Masjid. Let us open up our hearts and donate as generously as possible, inshallah. Every cent that we spend is for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala and one whose benefits a person will definitely see. Also, in the coming week, inshallah, on Wednesday night, the coming Wednesday, a very important program in our masjid, coordinated by the Jamiatul Ulama, pertaining to Zakah, a Zakat workshop will take place that time of the year where we should, inshallah, if we have not yet done so, to pay our Zakah, the due upon our wealth, to the various details and injunctions of it will be mentioned. And next week, Friday, inshallah, we're very fortunate to have a great alim, Zaman Abdul Hamid Sahib, inshallah, will be running the Jummah talk as well as other programs, the main program to take place next week, Friday, after Isha Salah in the masjid, inshallah.